cat, dog, lion, zebra.
Apples, oranges, watermelons, zucchini.
You may not believe it, but those are actually tests to decide whether you get to keep your driver's license. Those are some of my colleagues trying, and maybe failing, at some of these cognitive tests many drivers do once they reach 75. The whole thing is steeped in controversy.
Greypower wants the driver licence renewal system for seniors overhauled.
Greypower Acting Vice President David Marshall says a nationwide survey of members has revealed a lack of practical driving assessors in the regions and widespread use of cognitive tests, Smart MD and Mini ACE, to assess driver impairment.
So, how would you do if you sat a cognitive test? Would you be as good as, say, the former President of the United States?
You'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV. I do it because I have, like, a good memory, because I'm cognitively there.
I even got tested myself to see if I'm cognitively there.
Zebra, cow, dog, cat. Mind blank.
I'm Tom Kitchen, and today on The Detail, claims that parts of our driver testing system are broken. Are these cognitive tests doing the job they're supposed to, or are they just a waste of time? Later, we look at another driving test issue affecting mostly the younger end of the population, the government's removal of the reset fee. But that means the waiting times have blown out by months. But first, back to my colleagues. For brevity, we've shortened some of the tests. For the record, can you please say your name first?
Jamie Annan.
What's your role here at RNZ?
I'm the operations manager.
Thank you so much. Right, so let's get started. The mini ACE test. First question, what is the day?
Monday.
What is the date?
The 4th of May, I think.
And the year?
2024.
I'll tell you first off, you got the date wrong.
I got the date wrong. I had a feeling I did.
You got the date wrong. So that's 3 out of 4. Right. Second part of this test is the memory. So I'm going to give you a name and address, and I'd like you to repeat the name and address after me. I'll ask you the name and address later too. So here we go. Harry Barnes, 73 Church Street, Woodville, Hawke's Bay.
Harry Barnes, 73 Church Street, Woodville, Hawke's Bay.
Well done. Now, can you name as many animals as possible? You have 1 minute, and I better get my timer ready for that. Go.
Cat, dog, lion, zebra, marmoset, chicken, sparrow, elephant, zebra. I think I've said a zebra. I'm under pressure here. More animals. I'm going to a zoo. Donkey, horse, leopard, okapi. I'm starting to think of dinosaurs, which is no good. Brain freeze.
I think that's an animal.
No, it's not an animal. That's terrible. Ostrich, emu, koala, Tasmanian devil, iguana, lizards. Let's go through some lizards, shall we?
Time's up.
Okay.
Time's up. 17. You get 5 out of 7 for that one.
5 out of 7. That's
yeah, okay. Now, the address that we asked before. Tell me what you remember about that name and address.
Was it Mr. Barnes, 73 Church Street, Woodville, Hawke's Bay?
Do you remember his first name?
I think it might have been Robert.
Okay, 6 out of 7. His name was Harry.
Harry.
Let's see how you went on that test, shall we?
At what point are you taking my licence off me here, Tom?
We'll see how you go first, shall we?
This is when I find out I've got serious cognitive decline and I need to take a little walk around the block.
Right, I've got your results here. You're not too far off in your assessment of yourself.
I'm quite concerned.
You got 20 out of 25. Uh-huh. That falls in the category of mild cognitive impairments.
Okay, excellent.
You should be sent to a referral for a driving assessment.
That's terrifying, Tom.
How do you feel about that?
Quite disturbed, to be fair. Maybe I should be going for another test.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I turned 50 this year.
Right, okay. So you've got another 30-ish years until you have to do these tests.
According to this test, I probably don't have any more time.
And that was the mini ACE test. Now, for our second test subject, Ali Ventura, an executive producer at RNZ. She's just turned 33. We're doing a different test, the Simard MD. Let's start this with the word list. So I will now slowly read you a list of 10 words. When I have finished, please repeat as many of these words as possible. The order doesn't matter.
Okay.
Apple, ink, nail, bird, book, ticket, tree, chair, house, ship. All right, are you ready?
Apple, ink, nail, bird, oh my God, tree, ship, chair? Oh, I had this whole system and now my system is gone. How many more do I need?
Well, we'll probably end it there.
Okay.
Now, this is the second part. Please name as many of these things as possible that you can buy in a supermarket. You have 1 minute to do this. Let's go.
Okay, apples, oranges, watermelons, zucchini, potatoes, onions, nuts, chickens, beef, lamb, shapes of biscuits, and crackers, and milk, and cream, and cheese, and like lots of different types of cheese, and lollies, and chocolate, Coke, drinks. You can also get booze in some supermarkets. You can also get bakery items. You can get bread. You can get Vogels. You can get bagels. You can also get ice cream and frozen dinners and frozen berries and fresh berries and also tea towels. I just went through all of them.
I'll give you that tea towel one.
Okay, great.
You got 30, so that's exactly as many as we needed.
Oh,
so that's
brilliant. Okay, great. Okay.
Right. Now, at the beginning of this test, I read you 10 words.
Mm.
Tell me as many of those words as you can, please.
Oh, okay. Apple, ink, nail, bird, book, ticket, tree, the elusive eighth one, house, ship.
What's the elusive eighth one?
I don't know. What is it? Can you tell me?
It was cheer.
Cheer. Okay, great. Gotcha.
Right, let's see how you went with this one. Okay, so 102 out of 110.
Oh, okay, well pretty done. Good. I think that's more like an A, but
that's
whatever.
That's certainly a pass, so
okay,
well done. You did very well.
Oh.
Thank you for bearing with us, Ellie, while we did that. Appreciate it. It might be worth briefly explaining. Waka Kotahi, a.k.a. NZTA, told us when you turn 75, you need to present a medical certificate from your GP, confirming you're fit to drive. Then from age 80, you've got to do it every 2 years.
When I heard you talking about it, I was like, oh, this is the thing that my granddad has told me about before. So like independently, I'd be calling him about something else and he'd be like, okay, I have to do this test for driving again. And he would get really like not worried about it, but he was sort of annoyed about it because it's actually quite hard. He's just turned 90 and like that's the thing. Like, I understand them doing these tests, right? It's really good. But at the same time, he was sort of, you know, he's been driving for what, like 70 years? His mind is really great. I mean, he remembered my birthday yesterday, I tell you that much. Yeah, I've just heard him talk about it. And I think he felt a little bit embarrassed by it or something. You know, it just seemed a bit unfair.
Cognitive tests can be part of that assessment, but they aren't mandated. And it's up to the GP to decide whether to use them or not.
People underestimate the devastation that old people feel when they have to give up driving. It would turn my life upside down if I couldn't drive, if I didn't have my car. Really, it would be a devastation. I just think, you know, help us if we need help. Mm. But looking for excuses to not give us our driving license is a really bad move.
That's our producer's mother, Claire Russell, who's now 81.
I turned 80. I broadcast it loud and clear because, of course, a lot of my friends are very much in the same category and they all started sharing these terrible stories about the things that they'd been asked to do. I approached the whole thing and with quite some trepidation, I don't mind saying. You know, how many animals can you count beginning with A in 1 minute, and can you count backwards from 100 in sevens? What on earth that got to do with your driving? The only thing that I could think of, well, I suppose they have to test how mentally sharp you are in case a child suddenly runs out in front of your car. But in actual fact, it doesn't test your reflexes, which is what you need to know if you're going to need to brake suddenly. Eventually, I did roll up at the doctor, and the first thing she did was do my blood pressure, and it was quite high. And I just laughed at her and said, that's because I'm worried about what silly question you're going to give me in the test that I need to do. And she just laughed her head off and said, Claire, I wasn't going to give it to you. it was a judgment call on her part just simply not to do the test. I must admit, after all the worry, I walked out there feeling almost deprived, but I soon got over that.
I understand some of your friends have been quite terrified about having to do this test.
Well, they have, and that's why we hear all these stories. And, of course, the looming failure and people sort of saying, I'm off on the test today, I've memorised the date, I know who the Prime Minister is, what else do I need to know? And it's really, it's laughable if it wasn't so pathetic.
Now, for someone that knows all about these tests, Gregory Wynne-Kalman is a director and clinician at Henry Nardal Clinic in Auckland.
Pretty sure we're the only dementia clinic in New Zealand. We specialise in cognitive problems, diagnosing them and helping people through the process.
The two most talked about tests are the Mini-ACE and the SIMARD-MD. Both are derived from medical tests for conditions like dementia.
The SIMARD is something we don't use. There's been a reasonable amount of research. A Canadian piece of research pretty much shot it down in terms of its usefulness for driving. The ACE-3 is a very small version of the full ACE-3, which is what we use. The problem with the ACE-3 is that it doesn't measure all of the different domains that the full ACE does. It doesn't include the serial sevens, for instance.
You start with a random number like 150, and you mentally try to subtract 7 from that number every second. So it's like 150, 143, 136, 129.
The full ACE-3 is out of 100. It takes much longer, which is why GPs don't do it. It takes something like 20 minutes, the extent of a GP's consultation normally. I have used the SIMARD when I was working for a DHB in dementia, and I didn't find it particularly useful. Now, the big problem, no matter what cognitive test you do, it's very limited in its ability to test a person's cognition in a clinical setting, because when you go to a GP or you go to anybody really, and you're sitting in their clinic and you think that your driving is on the line, you get incredibly anxious. And that really affects your concentration. It's called white coat syndrome. When you're in a clinical setting, your blood pressure goes up and your cognition goes down. Especially when it comes to people where the driving is in question, we see them in their own homes. Our assessment takes 1.5 to 2 hours. We spend a great deal of time just chatting, having a cup of tea, eating a biscuit, that sort of thing with them, getting some social history, some cognitive history. And then towards the end of the visit or the assessment, then we do the cognitive test. Now, the cognitive test tends to be in the second tier of evidence we use. The most important evidence is what the patient themselves and the people who know the patient say about their functioning. It's really their functioning that's important. For instance, if somebody just has short-term memory problems, provided they're not too severe, but they're functioning fine in all other respects, if they can still use the internet, still use a smartphone, still do their banking, still cook a complicated recipe, that sort of thing, that's not dementia, and that is not going to affect their driving, or very unlikely to affect their driving. It's a mild cognitive impairment.
So even if they fail the test and they're good in all those other situations, you'll still let them drive?
Well, it depends on the degree to which they fail the test, but generally, yeah. We sometimes suggest to patients, if they fail the test and they're also having some problems in their activities of daily living, we suggest to them that perhaps they should consider stopping driving. If they say yes, then that's fine. If they say, no, well, I think I'm still safe to drive, you know, I've never had an accident, etc., we refer them for an on-road driving test.
But what do these tests actually have to do with driving? Like, a lot of people would think, why aren't you testing my physicality?
It's one aspect of driving. We do take note if somebody is, for instance, completing a cognitive test and they're particularly slow, because their ability to think quickly may then be brought into question. All we can test is their ability to think, is to concentrate, to reason, to be able to think reasonably quickly. Their memory is relevant to some extent, but it's by no means the most important part of driving. One of the questions we ask, for instance, we ask a person's spouse or son or daughter, you know, if you went to a cafe in Buenos Aires and from your hotel and you were sitting there finishing your coffee and you said to the patient, well, you know, on the way here we saw a sombrero in a shop window. Why don't you go and buy the sombrero and I'll see you back here in 20 minutes. the spouse's or the son or daughter's reaction to that is a pretty good indication of whether that person that might who they're driving might be in question.
Really?
Yes. Well, because if they say to you, "Well, I'm not sure that would be safe," in other words, they wouldn't be able to navigate in an unfamiliar environment. That's an indication that there could be a problem. Because yeah. although one might be driving over a familiar route, if there's a detour and it takes you somewhere unfamiliar, and you still have to navigate through that, that could become a problem if you can't navigate your way through an unfamiliar environment.
Right, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. And also, just finally, is there any way people could improve their scores? People might be listening to this and think, "Oh, I've got this test coming up. I really want to ace it." You know, pardon the pun.
It's probably a bit late in terms of lifestyle. You know, good social life, good sleep, good exercise, good Mediterranean diet, learning something new as often as possible are all things that will prevent or slow the progress of a dementia down.
Hmm.
But in terms of if you've got a cognitive test next week, then it's in a clinical setting. For goodness sake, try to relax, because it's the anxiety and the stress of the process that can significantly affect the result of the test you're sitting.
I'm feeling pretty anxious myself as I'm about to get tested.
Kia ora, Tom. Tables have been turned on you now. I'm Davina. I'm the associate producer for The Detail. So, Tom, how are you feeling?
I'm getting more nervous as every second passes.
Right, well, let's start off with something that you should hopefully know quite well. What day is it today?
It's Monday.
And what is the date?
6th of May.
Okay, I am going to give you a name, address, and I'd like you to repeat the name and address after me. John Marshall, 24 Market Street, Richmond, Canterbury.
John Marshall, 24 Market Street, Richmond, Canterbury.
Okay, I am going to get you to name as many animals as you possibly can in 60 seconds. Are you ready?
Yes.
And go.
Zebra, cow, dog, cat, lion, lemur, meerkat, rhinoceros, hippo. Mind blank. fish, girded, clownfish, shark, dogfish.
Dogfish?
It's a kind of fish, isn't it? So much pressure. What else was at the zoo? Red panda. Panda. Bear. Grizzly bear.
Done.
Oh, God, how did I do?
Not bad. Now, tell me, what do you remember about the name and address?
John Marshall, 24 Market Street, Richmond, Canterbury.
Well done.
Thank you. Right, how did I go? Did I pass?
Right, but you got 24 out of 25.
Oh, my God.
That's not bad.
Yes.
You're cognitively sound. Would that be the right phrase to put it?
I'm normal.
You're normal. Okay, which is thankful, because how old are you, Tom?
30.
Okay, so you've got another good, 50 years to go. So we're looking good.
That's a relief. Good luck if you have to sit one of these tests. Now, to change tack slightly, as promised, we're also talking about a driving test issue affecting young people. The removal of reset fees has caused massive testing delays. People are having to wait 2 to 4 months.
Wait times for people to sit their driver's licence have blown out, and part of the problem is free resets for those who fail.
Free retesting to get your driver's licence may be on the way out, introduced by the last government in October. Replacing reset fees for an upfront inclusive fee aimed to save Kiwis $5.5 million a year. But delays have ballooned since then. If you want to book in, you may be looking at a 50-day wait.
Mark Revel-Johnson is president of the New Zealand Institute of Driver Educators, and he's not a fan of these changes. He takes me back to what it was like before October last year, when the change came in.
The wait times were largely consistent, around about a couple of weeks, sometimes less than that in smaller centres.
And then what happened after October 2023?
October 2023, it was part of an overall fee restructure from Transport Agency. They took away the reset fees. So you paid slightly more for the first test, but then any resets after that were for free.
And that's the same with learners restricted and full, like the three of them, right?
That's correct, yes.
Right now, a learner's car licence is just over $96. A restricted is $167.50, and a full licence is $98.90.
The thinking behind this, the intention of it, was to increase accessibility to more people. Cost, obviously, is a factor. When you're deciding what to spend your household budget on, maybe a driving licence is low down the list, particularly as other expenses are getting larger.
What impact did that have? I mean, it sounds like it was well-intentioned. Did it work as planned?
It was well-intentioned. Unfortunately, it didn't work as planned because people have started to view the reset as, well, okay, it doesn't matter. I just rebook and go again. It doesn't cost me anything more. The industry were trying to warn against this in terms of people would not necessarily prepare properly for the test and would just go in and hope for the best and might fluke it, but it didn't really matter if they didn't because there was no financial penalty to go and do it again. Initially, that worked quite well. People didn't seem to feel the pressure in the test quite so much, so they were a little less nervous. But unfortunately, we've now got rather a lot of people who are just using it as almost like a free driver training session. At the end of the test, a debrief occurs. So they would take the hints and tips from the testing officer and come back and hopefully do better next time.
And it seems like that kind of thing would blow out testing wait times.
Significantly, yes. Whilst things have improved in the last couple of months, as VTNZ have recruited more testers and opened up more testing slots, they're testing earlier in the morning and they're testing on Saturday mornings in some of the busier locations. The wait times have blown out 2, 3, 4 months. 4 months is the maximum time you can book ahead. So there are some places still that you can't actually find an available slot in that 4 month period.
Can you give me an example of how, you know, someone might use this system for their benefit as such? I've heard examples of learners resetting a test twice a day, or maybe 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, when the system first came in, there was no limit. So people, they would turn up, they'd have a go at the theory test, which is a computer-based test. They would arrive and they would have a go and they didn't pass. They'd join the back of the queue and they'd have another go. And essentially it was pushing, people who were well-prepared were having to wait and wait and wait as this queue got longer and longer and longer. So there was a slight tweak to that arrangement, which was one of the easier ones apparently to make. And now they've created a rule that a person can have a go at the theory test twice in one day. And then they have a 10 working day stand down until they have a next go. So basically, look, you've had a go twice. You're not prepared for it. Go away, have a study and come back better prepared.
Do you think this system is leading to better drivers on our roads?
I think it has the potential to do exactly the opposite to that, Tom.
In what way?
If you keep turning up to a test without training and you just hope for the best, then there is the danger that you might just fluke it with just enough marks to scrape through. And if that's the case, then we're not really driving safely. You're only going to compound those habits later as you go through the years of your driving experience.
This is obviously causing a bit of frustration, a bit of concern in the industry and among testers. What would you like to see happen? I mean, should we just bring these reset fees back?
It's going to be a rock and a hard place, that one, Tom. Bearing in mind the intention of removing them is to increase accessibility for people, particularly in terms of financial cost. Let's say, for example, we flip that on its head and we said you can have your first test for free, but then you pay for a reset. If you didn't pass that first free test, if money's an issue, are you then going to go back for a reset? And that kind of defeats the object. I think that would be a preferable system, because it might convince people to prepare properly for the test in the first place. What I think would be a better option is to say we are going to require from you evidence that you have completed some training or you have completed so many hours of supervised practice and that somebody who is experienced and knows what they're doing has signed you off as ready for your test. Then we'll give you a free test.
So, yeah, we've covered a few issues in this podcast when it comes to driving and getting your licence from two ends of the spectrum. You know, is there an issue with this testing system? Is it a bit broken?
It's a system which works well for its purpose. Could it be improved? Probably. Could it be made cheaper? Maybe. From the driver educator's point of view, we try to get people to be safe drivers. We're not about teaching people to pass a test, even though that's probably the main goal of our clients. But we want them to be safe after they've got it. We want them to be good citizens on the road, and we want them to be able to deal with anything that the road situation might throw at them.
That's it for today. Thanks to all five people who spoke to us, in order of appearance: Jamie Annan, Ali Ventura, Claire Russell, Gregory Winkelman, and Mark Revel Johnson. The Detail is funded by RNZ and NZ On Air. This episode was engineered by Phil Bench. It was produced by Phil Vine, Alexia Russell, and Davina Zimmer. I'm Tom Kitchen. Ma te wa.